right, ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is terrific Tuesday, February 7th, 2012. It is a fabulous day to be alive, to be breathing, to have eyes open and ears open and experiencing the beautiful, wonderful panorama of life, this gift that we all have that we are enjoying. I'm so excited to be here on this call. Want to welcome everybody to the call. Welcome you to the call. Welcome you to the day. Welcome you to the best day of your life. Today truly is that, folks. We've said this before on the call, and I'll say it again. Today is the best day of my life because yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here yet. Today is the only day I have, and I'm so excited that today I woke up early, about 5 a.m. Idaho time. I followed Melvin's advice. You know, he shared a video with many of us on a call here a week or so ago that talked about how, you know, there have been all these medical studies done that if we will simply limit the time that we spend on the couch, on our bed sleeping, on our rear ends working to 23 and a half hours a day, that's one of the single greatest things we can do for ourselves and our health. And so this morning I was on the treadmill for 30 minutes, just having a brisk walk and just feeling great about myself that I took that advice that Melvin shared and was starting my day off with getting some fresh lungs into my air, exercising my body, and also exercising my mind. As I was on the treadmill, I was putting thoughts in my head. If you were on the call last night, we had a team call. I talked about Ryan Tracy and this audio program I'm going through called Eat That Frog. And it's great information. But folks, I want to, again, just welcome everybody to the call. For those of you who are just joining us, real quick, purpose of the call. The miracle happened in my life about 2 years ago, and that miracle was I was struggling financially. I had a wife and three children at the time to support. I was jobless. My savings were dwindling, and I had been trying to make money in the network marketing industry for about 6 years with a little bit of success. I mean, a few hundred dollars, $1,000 here and there, but nowhere near where I needed to be. And at this point in my life, I needed to make some changes. I needed some financial stability to come into my life. And, you know, many of you have heard this story. I recount this story because it's a true story. I was brought to the point where I was tucking my kids in bed, that I had read them their stories, their nighttime stories, and I was looking at my two oldest sons, Caden and Cannon, their face. As they'd just gone to sleep. And tears came to my eyes as I realized that I didn't know how I was going to support my family. And I said a prayer because I really needed a miracle to happen in my life. And around that time, I was prompted, I believe, by a force outside of myself to go back to the book Think and Grow Rich. You know, I had this thought. And the thought was, Paul, all of these successful people, Jim Rohn, Bob Proctor, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. Anthony Robbins, you hear all these people who have achieved great financial success, and they all talk about this book and how it was foundational in helping them transform their philosophy and bring money into their lives. And so I had this thought was, you need to go to that book. You need to not just read it, say to yourself it's a good book, toss it aside, and then pick up another book. You need to make this book your personal development Bible. You need to carry this book with you. Every time this book says do something, you need to fold down the page and you need to do it. And one of the tremendous things that came from that book for me was on a daily basis, I started repeating to myself my major definite purpose, which was a statement of the income that I needed in my life, and also a repetition of what Napoleon Hill calls the self-confidence formula. And I had done this before a few years previously. I started it, but I only did it for a few days and I quit and nothing happened. Well, I was at a point in my life where I had to make something happen. I couldn't afford to not follow through this time. So I started doing it morning and night. I'd repeat to myself my major definite purpose, my income goal. I would repeat to myself, I would plant these thoughts in my head, the self-confidence formula. And what started happening for me in my life was such a miracle. was so tremendous, was so life-changing, life-altering, that I decided that we needed to have a call every day to get these principles out to as many people as possible. And just to give you a brief synopsis, the first thing that started happening to me as I started to take control of my thoughts was my faith in my goal and my faith in myself started to increase dramatically, to where when I closed my eyes and visualized that money coming into my life and I could see that check and I could touch it with my hands, it went from being a mere hope, a mere wish, to a rock solid knowledge that that money was mine, and all I had to do was perform the service necessary in the best manner possible, and that money would be mine. And so I had that faith in the goal, I had the faith in myself, and what happened was simply amazing. The amount of money that I had been visualizing came into my life, then it doubled, then it tripled, and now here I am going into the first half of 2012, looking at that number, seeing very realistically that it could double again within the next 6 months. And not only that, not only did the money and is the money continuing to come into my life, more priceless than that, folks, and Melvin has pointed this out on the call several times, more priceless than the money is the state of being that I now exist in and am continuing to develop myself in. And that state of being is priceless. It's a state of belief. It's a state of confidence. It's a state of not worrying what other people think, do, or say in regards to me. It's a state of liberation where I'm able to rise up and be the best Paul Hutchings that I can be. And that is priceless to me. And so, folks, if you're just coming on this call, that's the purpose of the call. The purpose of the call is to help anybody and everybody who wants to develop into that state of being and beyond so that we can have what we want to have in life in terms of health, wealth, wisdom, and so that we can be a tremendous positive impact to those around us. So what we do on this call every day is we always remind ourselves of our major definite purpose, and we encourage everybody to repeat the self-confidence formula. It's easy to get off track in life. It's easy to forget, you know, what you're about. And so this call, if you're on this call every day, we will never, ever let you forget your major definite purpose. And we'll never, ever let you forget that you have power within yourself. And we'll never, ever let you forget that you have the power within yourself to determine your own beliefs and have empowering beliefs rather than disempowering beliefs. And it's going to take a daily effort. It's going to take a constant effort. It's going to take being persistent. And that's what this call is about. So I want to congratulate you for being on this call, starting your day with us this morning, and challenge you to be on this call every day, and anybody that you care about, invite them to be on this call. So that being said, a little bit of the history, a little bit of the purpose. Format of the call is usually we have myself or Bill go through some of the books, Think and Grow Rich, and we'll probably be going through some other foundational books as well. But we'll have the message, and then we'll open it up for discussion and mastermind. So that being said, I want to introduce Mr. Bill Hartraft, a great man, a tremendous individual, somebody who has the gift of words, who has the gift to reach down and inspire others. He's done it for many, many people throughout his life, and he's continuing to do it, and I'm so grateful that he is dedicating some of his time every day to this call and to the purpose that I just went through. So that being said, Mr. Bill Hartraft, you on the line with me, sir?
Oh, good morning, Paul. I was going to say, well, geez, everybody, great call. Take care. I mean, Paul, you said it all in your introduction. That was fantastic. What a beautiful story and a poignant story as well. I have to say something. I am on a personal note here, for those of you interested, people know that I live at the beach here in Florida. And people that don't know me really well or haven't seen my Facebook wall don't know that I'm a meteorologist. And about 25 minutes ago, we had a beautiful, if you can imagine it being beautiful, funnel cloud right here out my big bay window, literally looking right up at it, waiting to see if it was going to drop down to the earth. And it did not, but it was a spectacular rope signature of a funnel cloud. And I'm a former storm chaser for the National Weather Service, so I just thought people might get a kick out of that. I just wanted to say, Paul, you know, you're an amazing guy. I mean, Doc Fran and I have talked about you behind your back, young man, about the amazement of who you are and that you're the real deal and that you You really are the real deal. I mean, I've been around a lot of networkers in my life, and to hear your story, it's so profound, it's so beautiful, it's so touching. I look back at the days of the late 80s when I had Think and Grow Rich underneath my arm, and I had my tremendous successes, and then eventually I was asked to be a national trainer for a very, very large network marketing concern out of Houston, Texas. And I did that from the late 80s all through the 90s until I was assaulted. And, boy, what an incredible experience I have to draw from that. And that's what you have to look forward to, my friend. I mean, you're going to go well beyond anything I ever did. And I'm proud to know you. I'm proud to be your friend. I'm proud to love you as a friend. And you have truly inspired me. You have taken my whole situation, and instead of allowing me to sit here and worry and be so concerned about all of it, I've completely refocused my entire life and regenerated network marketing into my life, which I didn't think could be done. I didn't think could be done because my focus was on so many other ill things, ill problems, ill feelings, you know, worry. And we're going to talk about worry today. And I just want to say that thanks to you, Paul, thanks to Doc Fran, thanks to our company, which we don't promote any companies on this line on the Think and Grow Rich call, but thanks to who I'm involved with now, I am recurving and regenerating my entire life thanks to this. And it's going to be one heck of a story because I'm not done yet. And still have a lot of things to learn, a lot of things to reteach myself. But it can be done. It can be done. Coming from the worst of experiences, it can be done. And I really believe that the life that I led in the late 80s and 90s were the stepping stones for me to learn from for this experience. So, again, failure. And Paul's, you know, I've said this before, Paul's back was against the wall, people. His back was against the wall. He had to make something happen. So he allowed Think and Grow Rich to consume himself. He allowed auto-suggestion to consume himself and look at the results. I'm happy to say that my check just recently doubled also. So I am ecstatic. Sure, it may not be to Paul's standard yet, but, you know, all I have to do is add a few zeros to that, and it will be. And, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. So, I mean, things are starting to happen, and I'm starting to see it. And, you know, when you see your check double from one month to the next, I don't care whether it's, you know, 17 to 34 bucks or 34 to 68 bucks or 3,000 to 6,000 bucks. That's a huge statement in your own situation. So, very, 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 very excited about that. Today we're going to talk about worry. It's central to my situation. It's central to all of our situations because we worry about some of the dumbest, stupidest little things, and we allow them to control us and take us down. And Think and Grow Rich does a very good job of explaining exactly how we go about this, and that's what we're going to talk about today. So I start in Think and Grow Rich at Old Man Worry. Worry is a state of mind based upon fear. It works slowly but persistently. It is insidious and subtle. Step by step, it digs itself in until it paralyzes one's reasoning faculty, destroys self-confidence and initiative. Worry is a form of sustained fear caused by indecision. Therefore, it is a state of mind which can be controlled. An unsettled mind is helpless. Indecision makes an unsettled mind. Most individuals lack the willpower to reach decisions promptly and to stand by them after they have been made, even during normal business conditions. During periods of economic unrest, such as the world recently experienced, remember this was written 100 years ago, the individual is handicapped not alone by his inherent nature to be slow at reaching decisions, but he is influenced by the indecision of others around him who have created state of mass indecision. You ever heard of the mob effect? People are just not smart enough to make up their own minds, so they agree with other people, and that's how that creates the mob effect, mass indecision. during the Depression, the whole atmosphere all over the world was filled with furenza and worryitis, the two mental disease germs which began to spread themselves after the Wall Street frenzy in 1929. There's only one known antidote for these germs. It is the habit of prompt and firm decision. Moreover, it is an antidote which every individual must apply for himself. We do not worry over conditions once we have reached a decision to follow a definite line of action, just like Paul talked about. I once interviewed a man who was to be electrocuted 2 hours later. The condemned man was the calmest of some 8 men who were in the death cell with him. His calmness prompted me to ask him how it felt to know that he was going into eternity in a short while. With a smile of confidence on his face, he said, "It feels fine. Just think, brother, my troubles will soon be over. I have had nothing but trouble all my life. It has been a hardship to get food and clothing. Soon I will not need these things. I felt fine ever since I learned for certain that I must die. I made up my mind then to accept my fate in good spirit." As he spoke, he devoured a dinner of proportions sufficient for 3 men, eating every mouthful of food brought to him, and apparently enjoying it as much as if no disaster awaited him. Decision. Decision gave this man resignation to his fate. Decision can also prevent one's acceptance of undesired circumstances. The 6 basic fears become translated into a state of worry through indecision. Relieve yourself forever of the fear of death by reaching a decision to accept death as an inescapable event. Whip the fear of poverty by reaching a decision to get along with whatever wealth you can accumulate without worry. Put your foot upon the neck of the fear of criticism by reaching a decision not to worry about what other people think, do, or say. Eliminate the fear of old age by reaching a decision to accept it, not as a handicap, but as a great blessing which carries with it wisdom, self-control, and understanding not known to youth. Yesterday, or some days in the past, I had recently talked about how I would love to be 32 years again and know what we know at this age. Right, Dr. Moran? So, yes, and Melvin, yes, we would love to be 32 again and know what we know. So, you know, age is a good thing. Acquit yourself of the fear of ill health by the decision to forget symptoms. Master the fear of loss of love by reaching a decision to get along without love, if that is necessary. Kill the habit of worry in all its forms by reaching a general, blanket decision that nothing which life has to offer is worth the price of worry. With this decision will come poise, peace of mind, and a calmness of thought which will bring happiness. A man whose mind is filled with fear not only destroys his own chances of intelligent action, but he transmits these destructive vibrations to the minds of all he comes in contact with and destroys also their chances. Excuse me. Even a dog or a horse knows when its master lacks courage. Moreover, a dog or a horse will pick up the vibrations of fear thrown off by its master and behave accordingly. Lower down the line of intelligence in the animal kingdom, one finds the same capacity to pick up the vibrations of fear. A honeybee immediately senses fear in the mind of a person for reasons unknown. A bee will sting the person whose mind is releasing vibrations of fear much more readily than it will molest the person whose mind registers no fear. The vibrations of fear pass from one mind to another just as quickly and as surely as the sound of the human voice passes from the broadcasting station to the receiving set of a radio and by the self-same medium. Mental telepathy is a reality. Thoughts pass from one mind to another voluntarily, whether or not this fact is recognized by either the person releasing the thoughts or the persons who pick up these thoughts. The person who gives expression by word of mouth to negative or destructive thoughts is practically certain to experience the results of those words in the form of a destructive kickback. The release of destructive thought impulses alone without the aid of words produces also a kickback in more ways than one. First of all, and perhaps most important to be remembered, the person who releases thoughts of a destructive nature must suffer damage through the breaking down of the faculty of creative imagination. Secondly, the presence in the mind of any destructive emotion develops a negative personality which repels people and often converts them into antagonists. The third source of damage to the person who entertains or releases negative thoughts lies in this significant fact. These thoughts, impulses, are not only damaging to others, but they embed themselves in the subconscious mind of the person releasing them. Just like auto-suggestion. If your auto-suggestions are negative, you're going to respond negatively. That's easy for me to say. If you auto-suggestion positive thoughts, you are going to respond positively. Paul Hutchings is the perfect example of that and what he's went through the last 7 years. So they embed themselves in the subconscious mind of the person releasing those destructive thoughts, and there become a part of his character, his or her character. One is never through with a thought merely by releasing it. When a thought is released, it spreads in every direction through the medium of the other, but it also plants itself permanently in the subconscious mind of the person releasing it. Your business in life is, presumably, to achieve success. To be successful, you must find peace of mind, acquire the material needs of life, and above all, attain happiness. All of these evidences of success begin in the form of thought impulses. You may control your own mind. You have the power to feed it whatever thought impulses you choose. With this privilege goes also the responsibility of using it constructively. You are the master of your own earthly destiny just as surely as you have the power to control your own thoughts. You may influence, direct, and eventually control your own environment, making your life what you would want it to or be. Or you may neglect to exercise the privilege which is yours to make your life to order, thus casting yourself upon the broad sea of circumstance. Whatever happens to me, I'll deal with it. Where you'll be tossed hither and yon like a chip on the waves of the ocean. That's where I'm going to stop today, Paul. I'll tell you what, I go back through this, and I know everybody's going to have a lot to say about this, but kill the habit of worry in all its forms by reaching a general blanket decision. I mean, that's what I've had to do. You know, a lot of you were on the call, and you heard my story on Wednesday, and you heard me, really come to terms with some battles, some inner battles that I was facing. And there's a lot of worry with all that. And believe it or not, there's worry with that success as well. You know, there's worry. Certainly, I want to be pain-free. There's no worry there. But there's worry that I'll get into pain while creating and doing the things that I need to do in order to get myself healthy. And pain for me is a very serious concern for me because I've dealt with so much of it and so severe. And I would do anything under the sun to not deal with it again. But am I trying things that I am fearful of? Yes. I'm feeling the fear and doing it anyway. I little budgeted on getting a bicycle. They are very expensive nowadays. And I found a bicycle next door neighbor had one, and it was just sitting on a rack. And I said, can I use this? And so I started riding it the other day just to get my feel again. And Oh, I was concerned. I was worried. I was worried about my legs. I was worried about my back. I was worried about my shoulders, my neck. And so I rode around for about a mile and a half here around our condominium complex here. And oh my goodness, it was very fulfilling. It was refreshing. It was great to feel the air in my face again. It almost made me wish I had my motorcycle again. But it was wonderful. And when I got off the bike, I wanted to keep going, but I knew I'd done enough and enough for that time period, and then I need to do it again. So the bike is in the garage, and I was on it this morning again while it was dark, and it was wonderful, and I love it. And that's going to be my new favorite pastime. I'm going to get into good enough health so that I can go out with my friends that go across the causeway every day over to a little shop and enjoy a great fruit smoothie for breakfast. But kill the habit of worry. You have to make a blanket decision that nothing which life has offer is worth the price of worry. Nothing. Nothing is worth the price of worry. Nothing. And we have so many little worries in our lives, so many little things that bother us. You know what those little things are. You know, concentrate on them and think about, do I really need to worry about this? Do I really need to be so upset about this? There's financial worry. There's whether I'm going to make this, whether I'm going to do this. But you're living today. Your day-to-day is okay. Instead of looking so far into the future for everything, look at where you are today when that worry comes. And when that worry comes for me, that's what I do. And today, right this minute, I'm fine. I'm fine. So what I'm doing by worrying about the future is I'm causing this day to be bad, this day to go down the tubes, because I'm so upset about tomorrow and what the future may hold. But right now, this day, I'm good. Everything's fine. Everything's great. Oh, I have a little like added extra pain because we're finally getting some weather here. We haven't had rain since before Christmas, and finally the rain is on our doorstep, so I can feel it. But other than that, today, I'm okay. But if you worry about the stuff for tomorrow, you worry about, oh, I'm not going to have this, and I'm not going to have that, and I'm not going to do this, and I'm not going to be able to do that, you're going to ruin your days, just like this book says, just like this chapter talks about, your persistence, what you're doing today. Sit down today and figure out, what do I have to do today so that I can make my tomorrow better? What can I do in my business? Who can I call? Who can I get in contact with? What new people, what new friends I can make. Listen, Paul put himself on the line last night on our company call and just at random went and picked up some business cards off his desk and started calling them. Here, I have the fear of doing that. And this guy just goes ahead and does it. Yes, he knew one of them, but I hadn't talked to them in forever. And out of three calls, he contacted two people that wanted to hear about the business. I mean, talk about putting us all ashamed for all of us to get answering machines. I mean, this guy is incredible. He's amazing. He really is. And he was just himself, just his natural self. He said, I don't know what I'm going to say to these people. I'm just going to talk to them. And that's what he did. And he just said, you know, how did I get your card? That was his icebreaker. I got your card. So how did he get it? He didn't worry about what he was going to say, what their answers would be. And he was of the understanding and the thought that, well, if they say something, you know, bad or what have you, it's their loss. Remember, you are a power greater than thyself. You have a power within you that is awesome. And if you have the belief system and you truly believe in what you're doing will help other people and is good for them as it is good for you, then you should be out there sharing this with the masses. Share it with the masses. Absolutely, 100% yes. What are you concerned about? Are you concerned that people are going to say no to you? Yes, people are going to say no to you. You can't worry about those things. Of course people are going to say no. I had people say no to me 3 months ago. I called them yesterday. Out of several of them that I spoke to, two got very interested again. They were like, gosh, you're really into this thing. Maybe I need to look into it a little bit further. And I said, you know what, Ron, I think you do. I think you really do. And he said, send me this stuff. Let's check it out. And so I have an appointment with him today to call him back. So, I mean, I called back people that said no. I could have worried about that. I could have been like, oh, I'm going to get rejected again. But I didn't go into it with that thought. So when you start to worry about stuff, remember, I'm okay today. I'm okay. I'll eat today. I have plenty of water. I have my laptop. I have my telephone. My car runs. You know, today you're okay. And then do things today that will better your tomorrow. I always used to say in my trainings that if you don't do anything today, you lose tomorrow too. If you don't do anything today, you lose tomorrow too. Because today you set up appointments that will change the rest of your life today. Paul Hutchings, the amazing clanker of mine, are you there, my friend?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Well, I think I can hear you, yeah.
Wow, man. Wow, Bill. As you were reading that, you know, first of all, as you were reading those words from that book, I just have to say that they resonated with my soul. The truth resonates with your soul. And I'm sure that everyone on the line had that experience as we were listening to you, Bill, read that chapter and talk about conquering the fear of worry. And then those wonderful comments that you shared afterward really drove the point home. And I know we've got a lot of people on the line, some great wisdom, some great experience. So I want to quickly get to opening up the lines, but I do want to make just a couple of quick comments. As you were reading those words, I realized how this book has transformed my soul. And I want to give everyone just a couple of examples that I didn't even realize until you just read what you read, Bill. You know, Napoleon said we need to step on the neck of the fear of criticism by deciding not to worry what other people think, do, or say. Folks, I don't know if you've read my personal manifesto, but one of the things that I've done is I've taken the major definite purpose and the self-confidence formula, and then as I hear new things, as I read things, and I recognize things in myself that I need to change, I state the positive belief in my personal manifesto, and I repeat it to myself every day. Well, one of the lines in my personal manifesto is, I don't worry about what other people think, do, or say. Where did that come from? It came right from the stuff that Bill just read, because one of the times I was going through this chapter, and I read that line, and I thought to myself, well, shoot, I do worry about what other people think, do, and say. And you know what? That does hold me back. So how do you change it? It starts with controlling your thoughts. So I put that into my daily repetition, and every morning and every night I'm saying this to myself, and I'm saying to myself, I don't worry about what other people think, do, or say. And pretty soon, it wasn't too long after that, my wife and I were having a discussion about something, and my wife was like, well, you know, we don't want people to know this, and, you know, what if they know that, and what if they think this? And I said, honey, I really don't care. She looks at me, and I'm like, yeah, honestly, I don't care what other people think about us. I really don't. And I told her I explained to her my experience about working about this and blah, 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 blah. And Bill mentioned the call last night. I pick up the phone. There were 223 people on the call last night. I had no idea we had that many people on the call. And what do? Just what Bill said. I was trying to make a point and share with people how you can pick up the phone and just call anybody. And I had this stack of business cards. Folks, I never would have done that before understanding this stuff. I would have been terrified. And that fear would have paralyzed me. I never, ever would have done something like that. But last night, 223 people on the line, I got these business cards on my desk, never talked to these people before, and I said, you know what? I don't care. I don't care what happens. I'm going to pick up the phone and do it. And as Bill mentioned, good things came of it. So it really does take a conscious effort in deciding what beliefs we're going to have in our minds. And it's just tremendous. As we're working on this stuff, guys, the level of our belief in ourselves and the state of being, I mentioned that phrase at the outset of this call, the state of being that we're going to get into is really the pearl of great price, the priceless treasure that we're all endeavoring to get into our lives as we get on this call. So, Bill, great thoughts. Thank you very much. I do want to open up the lines, and if Doc Fran is on the line still, I do want to call him out because he is an individual. Yeah, I want to invite Doc Fran, if you'd press star 6 to unmute your line, I want to invite Doc Fran to share his thoughts, because he is an individual, you know, I've met many people in my life, and Doc Fran, this individual that's on the call, he is one of the people that I truly look up to and admire in this specific area of getting this state of being where you don't worry, you have a state of belief, and great things happens. So Doc, are you on the line? Star 6. Oh, there you are.
Yep. Well, I appreciate it. And that was undoubtedly one of the most impactful calls that I have ever been privileged to be a part of. So I'm almost humbled to say anything after the wisdom and the passion and the truth that has been poured out of the two of you gentlemen this morning for the benefit of all of us on this line. And the, you know, worry is the insidious killer of dreams, lives, passion. And one of the best definitions that I've ever heard for worry is that worry is literally praying for what you don't want to happen. And how often isn't it funny that when we just focus on the fear of something happening, and we focus on that fear and focus on that fear, and we've all heard the phrase self-fulfilling prophecy. And sure enough, if we continue to groove in that focus, it becomes a belief. And it becomes a limiting belief. And limiting beliefs are very powerful, because we're all ingrained from birth to operate in fear. Our entire existence reinforces being in fear and thinking in fear. And so it's a very powerful innate behavior in every one of us. And it takes conscious effort, as Paul has adequately demonstrated, to overcome that fear. It does take work, folks. It's easy to say, it's not as easy to do, and it takes courage. And the last thing it takes is action. And that is last night's call, again, an absolute major keeper. I hope that you keep that recording forever for us to refer back to, because that, again, the combination powerhouse of last night and this morning's calls are some of the most amazing, important training that any of us can have. And I'm just so grateful that, you know, God woke me up at 7 o'clock this morning and I stayed up. and we joke about that, you know, but when I was coming through my networking days, the phrase that was one of the things that you knew you really made it was when you could sleep till you're finished sleeping. And that was kind of a goal. And I, you know, I like that goal. And I do my best sleep from 6 in the morning till 9 in the morning. There's no doubt about it, my deepest sleep. And so if I get up before 6, I'm fine. If I get up after 9, which is I usually wake up naturally every day right around 9 o'clock. And so if I get up in between that 6 and 9, I'm not so good for the day. But at any rate, I got up this morning and I'm feeling pretty good. The greatest antidote to fear is to take action. And it is absolutely amazing. And it really is almost immaterial what action you take. If you take a deliberate action that is aligned with a purpose, or if you take a deliberate action that literally flies in the face of that particular fear that you're feeling, that is the most powerful action you can take. But any action will do. Any action at all will break that cycle of paralysis through fear. And geez, I don't know what else to say, guys. It's just been the most amazing, amazing knowledge this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Doc, and I'm so glad we have this call at 9, because that you'll be able to have your best sleep and still be on and share wisdom with us. So thank you very much. Yes.
Well, I wanted to add something because I was thinking as both you and Doc Fran were speaking that I was trying to re-go through, you know, how you get a chance to think about what you just read more in length. And I listening to Doc Fran and listening to you, it made me think that everybody on this call has accomplished something by, you know, putting their foot on the fear of criticism, putting their foot on the fear of worry. Everybody here has accomplished something great in their lives. They wouldn't be here if they hadn't. So think back to those times that you did accomplish something great in your life. We've all done it. We wouldn't be here if we hadn't. So think about what you used. Think about how you went about it, how you approached it. You know, get back that frame of mind. Remember how whatever it was that you accomplished, you made it your one purpose. You let it consume you. You said, okay, I've got to call this person, and this person. I've got to do this, this, and this. Have you ever bought a car? Have you ever bought a house? Have you ever gotten a condo? Have you ever rented a place? Yes, 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 yes. We've all done it that are on this call. And every single one of us accomplished it. And in those accomplishments, we had to fight through fear. We had to fight through disagreement. We had to get through all that worry and so on. And so all of us have done this. So don't read more into this than you have to. Make a blanket decision that everything that all of a sudden enters your mind, and maybe get out a little journal today and write down your thoughts. I mean, Denise Badler talked about this on many weeks ago about the thoughts entering your mind. Challenge yourself to write down your thoughts and challenge those thoughts. Challenge those worries and test yourself and see, now, do I have to let that worry bother me right now? Do I even have to let that worry bother me at all? And how can I, you know, force that worry out of my life with a positive plan of action, a plan of action? Make that decision. I just wanted to add that, Paul, on Doc Frank.
Thanks, Bill. Very valid stuff. Well, let's open up the lines here. Star 6, anyone else want to jump out and comment or ask any questions? I'd love to hear from everyone on the line.
Hey, Paul.
Marcia Cox?
Yes. Was that Melvin there?
Yeah, I just wanted to say something. Doc Fran mentioned something there that if everybody didn't write that down, they're making a major mistake because it is so powerful, and that is understanding exactly what he said when he said that worry, when you worry, you are praying for what you don't want. And if a person actually gets that clear in their own mind, that when I worry, I'm praying for what I don't want, you can cease doing that completely. It's having that understanding of exactly what worry is. In fact, what people tend to do, I find so many people say they believe in God, they go to church, but I find the majority of the people are only lying to themselves because instead of having faith, they've got fear, and instead of praying for the positive, they're actually worrying and praying for the worst. And
hey, Melvin, somebody's got some background noise going on there. If you could press star 6 to mute your line. Thank you. Sorry about that, Melvin. Go ahead.
And so it just becomes very clear. I was thinking here for a minute that everybody recognizes and gets out of the rain. You know, rather than standing in the rain and getting wet, we get out of it. And we can even get to a point to where before it rains, we can see the clouds in the sky and prepare for it. And we know it's coming, so we don't even allow ourselves to get into it. Well, you can actually get to recognize worry in the same way, and you don't have to wait till it comes upon you. You can recognize it and get away from it right off the bat. It's having that clear understanding in your mind, and in the process of doing so, you can eliminate it from your life altogether to where actually you never, ever, ever worry again. There's a thing called concern, which is a total different thing. Concern is focusing on the answer to the problem. Worry is focusing on the problem. So it's just getting these things clear in our own mind to the degree that we were on top of it throughout the entire day and we can actually eliminate it from our life. Back to you, Paul.
Wow. Thank you, Melvin, very much. Very, very, very wise words. Concern versus worry, great distinction. And, wow, yeah, thank you. Yes, somebody else there.
Marcia Cox.
Marcia, hey, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, and you? I just want to tell, because Dr. Franz was mentioned that this is one of the most powerful calls he has ever participated in. It's because he hasn't been every day, every morning, because every day is that way, Dr. Franz. So, he was talking about it, and I think, gosh, you know, it is powerful every single day. So I just want to point that out.
That's Marcy, what a great thing. Thank you so much. We love you.
Point well taken.
Who's that?
I said it was Doc Fran. Point well taken.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I was saying there when Doc made that statement, I said, like, yeah, where's he been?
Hey, the fear that Paul incited in me last night on the call when he asked me the question, he says, have you been on all of our daily mindset calls? And I went, oh, God, I have to admit that I haven't. never again.
there was a method to my madness last night then. Anyone else? Star 6, the lines are open. We've got a few minutes here left. Star 6 to unmute your line. Don't be shy.
Good morning, Rick from California.
Hey, Rick, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I want to thank you for putting this all together. Without you putting this, it wouldn't be possible, you know. I want to thank everybody for sharing as well. And I want to share this also. A little thing that somebody said, I heard someone said one time, and he said, if you're willing to look foolish in front of a lot of people, you're going to become wealthy. I adopted that. I want to look foolish in front of a bunch of people, you're going to get wealthy in this business.
Great line. Thanks, Rick. Love it.
I want to thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Good stuff.
I got news for you last night. 223 people listening in. If Paul knew that, I don't know if he'd have the strength to pick up a phone and make those calls. Talk about being foolish. The man is going to be very wealthy. Congratulations, Paul, by the way. That was awesome last night.
Oh, thank you very much. Anyone else? Star 6, Mastermind here. I know that there are definitely have to be other people on this line that were touched by the message. Would love to hear from you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Paul, this is Debbie Wood.
How are you? Debbie, live. You were on the line live.
I had to walk away from my desk today and make a comment and go to an office because normally I just listen quietly because I sit at my desk. But what an awesome call. Amazing, absolutely amazing, and tied in with last night's call. And I just wanted to let you know that I'm anxiously awaiting for the replay because I got on a little bit late.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, I'll get that up as soon as possible.
Yeah, amazing. You just, these calls in the morning are, I can't even describe them. I mean, I'm always on, and I always feel bad when everybody says, come on, talk, because I can't at my desk. But I walked away today to make a comment. Just had to tell you.
Oh, so glad you did. It's wonderful to hear your voice, Debbie.
Hey, Paul, can you hear me?
Yes,
Paul,
Melvin.
Can you hear me?
Let's see, there are two people there, Melvin and then another gentleman. Go ahead, Melvin.
Paul, you know, speaking about people not liking me or care what I say, I really don't worry about that at all. So in making this statement, I'm going to just go forth with it. I hear people talk about the Bible and reading the Bible and reading the Bible and reading the Bible. To me, if I were going to become a mechanic, I would not want to learn how to become a mechanic today working on a T Model Ford. I mean, that's not going to get me where I want to go. And so to become a mechanic today, I'm going to really have to work on one of the cars that we have today in existence. And I almost look at the Bible, not that there's nothing to be gained from it, but I see Think and Grow Rich as a book that is more of our time, that a person needs, that can set them free, that can cause them to move forward, to really understand, to take responsibility. And I see the other as many benefits to be had there, but this is the book that people really need to be into today to set themselves free. And many of them that are in the other one instead, I just kind of have to shake my head at so many of them. It's a shame how they've misunderstand and it's not clear. So anyway, for what it's worth, I just wanted to throw that out there.
Thanks, Melvin. Yeah, I believe we need to be students and always be looking for the good in everything and processing ideas and eliminating the bad. So yes, absolutely, good point. Someone else was out there with Melvin there, a male voice I heard.
This is John from Chicago. This is my first time on the call.
Hey, good morning. Jeff, you say?
John.
Oh, John, welcome to the call.
And, I really, really like this call. I've read the book Think and Grow Rich before and going through it again myself, and you know, I kind of got turned on to this call, and so I'm very, very excited about it. And I was hearing about the fear, and I thought about some things that were actually in the Bible. I believe it was Jonah who said something about the thing that I fear came upon me.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I think we kind of live our lives like that when we don't realize that when – we're saying, oh, I knew that would happen, but what were we thinking about? We kind of gravitate to our most dominant thoughts. So just wanted to kind of throw that in there.
Very good stuff, John. Thank you so much for sharing. And it does say exactly that. You know, why did all those terrible things happen to Job? There's a line right in there that says, the thing that I feared most came upon me. Very, very applicable. Thank you.
Can I join this thread?
Please, yes.
This is such an amazing discussion, and Mel, you do have a lot of courage to open up that course. And we all hear an expression in our lives: why do bad things happen to good people? And there really is an answer for that, and it's very interesting. When you truly believe that God does not do anything for us or to us, He manifests everything through us in love. And if we're an individual, and I have friends like this, that their lives are nothing but one calamity and tragedy after another. And if we reflect, we may know people like this. And some of them are the most God-fearing, good Bible-thumping Christians that you know. And they really wear their faith on their arm. And they truly believe that God is doing all of this stuff to them to test them in this lifetime. And it really is a shame, because the reality is bad things happen to good people because that is all that they will allow themselves to have. That is what they, in their some misguided belief that they hold, is that that is all they're entitled to. That is what they deserve. And that is such a sad thing, because God has created the most amazing, expanding, continually enlarging, abundant universe. And my belief is that God's intention for each and every one of us is that we will have all of the abundance of whatever we need in our lives to fulfill our purpose in this life. And it may be money, it may be friends, it may be love, it may be knowledge, it may be creativity, it could be, look at Mother Teresa. Do you think that she ever viewed her life as a life of lack of abundance? I don't think so. So, Mel, thank you. That was a very courageous move. And the problem is that too many people limit themselves with a misguided belief that that is what God tends for them. Back to you.
Words of wisdom. Very, man, one of the reasons I love this call is because I grow. I mean, we're listening to the discussion and hearing the experience and the knowledge and the eloquence of expressing some of these ideas. And as you listen, you grow. So, wow, thanks everyone. Anyone else want to comment here?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Paul. This is Dana in Arizona.
I heard Joy and then someone from Arizona, I think Dan. Joy, go ahead.
Yes, for one thing, I want to thank Doc Fran for that. And I just wanted to say that we do have free will, and there are resources put on our path. We have choices to make. Are we going to choose to use those resources that are put in our path? In the past, when I failed networking, I really feel like these resources have not been in my path. But I have come across them, I've grasped them, and I'm telling you, they are saving my life. So that said, I just want to thank you for being diligent in proceeding what you do, Paul, because it is saving my life.
Thank you, Joy. Thank you very much for those thoughts. Was that Dan in Arizona?
It's Dana in Arizona.
Oh, Dana. Hey, Dana. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. I know you sent me a text yesterday, and I haven't forgotten about you. So forgive me for not getting back to you yesterday. Anyway, go ahead.
Nope. I just wanted to add that I've only been on these calls for a little over a week, and I listened to your Miracle Money story several months ago, and these calls, I have to attest to the fact that they are life-changing every single morning. And I just want to add something to what Doc Fran said. And there's a passage in the Old Testament in the first chapter of Jeremiah, and God speaking to Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I sanctified you. And that means he set him apart to do something. And I believe that's what God does with all of us. You set us apart for something great. And we make choices to find what that is. And so as I have started to, for the first time, really read Think and Grow Rich. I've started it a couple of times in years past, but never really took it to heart. I found the importance of reiterating that definite major purpose for your life every single day. And these calls and the company that we're involved with are really providing a vehicle for me to accomplish that definite major purpose. And it's not just the gaining of money, but it has to be that thing that God has set me apart to do. And that's what I am so excited about, and that's what builds my faith and helps me to make good choices here every single day. And, you know, I have been subject for many years to a very negative attitude, and I'm a believer. And that negativity, as Bill brought out when he was reading the chapter on worry, does manifest itself. If you don't stay in the positive, those negative things, you do get a kickback. And that kickback has prohibited me from attaining my major definite purpose. And so these calls and the company that we're with and the new positivity that I have in my life are changing my life drastically. And man, I'm telling you, I'm just loving it. It is just absolutely awesome. And so I just want to encourage you to continue these calls, because you know, this gentleman that John that got on here the first time today, and these calls are changing people's lives every single day and causing us to look for the things that are right, the things that are good, and help us to proceed in the fashion to attain those goals and that set-apart attitude that God has created for us. Because he's not putting obstacles in our path. We put those obstacles out there because of our attitude. And if we can change our hearts and allow God to do that, and then we have the vehicles that we do through these calls, there's no telling what we can do. And that's why I'm so excited, and I just want to encourage you to just keep doing it, brother.
Dan, thank you. I couldn't have come up with anything better to say to finish out the call. That was fantastic. Thank you for sharing those thoughts, and thanks for that encouragement. And absolutely, we will do these calls forever as long as there are people out there that have failed to select a definite major purpose and failed to realize that we create our own realities. And that's what we're doing on this call. We're learning, you know, I said it before, I'll say it again. It's not who's speaking on the call. It's not who's sharing the message. It's that what's being shared on these calls are truths, their principles, their laws, and I love them because they're not just applicable to Paul or to Bill or to Melvin or Doc Fran or Dana. A principle is something that anyone, anywhere can apply to affect change in his or her life, and it is a beautiful thing, and I'm honored and grateful to be a part of this. Thanks everyone for the discussion. Thanks for your investment of time each and every morning, and let's get out there today and take advantage of this beautiful gift we're all holding in our hands called life, and let us have faith in ourselves. Let us have faith in the infinite. Let's move forward with persistence towards our definite major purpose. Let us take action. Let us conquer fear. Let us conquer worry and move forward towards amazing things. I love each of you. Thanks for being on the call, and we'll see you back tomorrow morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Make a great day, everybody.
Thanks, Paul.
Make it a terrific day. Remember, you have the power to make it that way.